Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Recently, a dear brother in Christ who has recently been saved unto the Lord began to tell me about an intercessor in his life. And that night, as I was sleeping in the middle of the night, actually happens to be right now, I was awakened and reminded of the great danger of these so-called intercessors, intercessory prayer warriors, and all these things. And I was reminded of a post that we have on safeguardyoursoul.com, of which this right here will be a part of this new podcast that I'm recording as we speak. I can remember as a younger believer how my life was, Satan was preying on me, and he was using these witches who call themselves intercessors, and they set themselves up in the lives of younger believers. That's their assignment from the enemy, to seduce them and to entice them into away from the Word of God. They're never going to emphasize the Word of God, and that's what we see Paul doing, is that he emphasized the Word of God. He spoke to Titus about sound doctrine. See that thou speak those things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2:1. Timothy has said, you study to show yourself approved unto God. Study the Word. A man that is rightly dividing the Word of truth, you're approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15, and he also told him in the next verse, the next chapter, chapters 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he brought to his remembrance how his mother and grandmother grounded him in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which is the wisdom of God, and that's never going to change. That's how we grow in Christ, is by studying the Word of God, walking in the Spirit, and obeying God. And what they want to do, they don't want you grounded in the Word, which alone tells you that that's the fruit of a satanic messenger coming in to steal your life away from the Lord and to incapacitate you from the Word of God instead of grounding you. Because he tells Timothy in the next verse, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect throughly, that is, through and through, furnished unto all good works. Notice there's no instruction to go find or listen to or be captivated by some intercessor. These people are absolutely self-appointed. They're seductive, they're deceptive, and they're messengers of Satan, and they come out of this whole witchcraft movement called the New Apostolic Reformation, NAR movement, with people like C. Peter Wagner and Bill Johnson and all these other warlocks. And it's interesting how these women who are supposed to be teaching younger women, not men, hello, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, they're supposed to be teaching younger women about modesty and godliness, etc. But yet you find them seducing younger believers, not necessarily younger in age, but younger in maturity, and you see them create this relationship with the younger believer to get them dependent on them, not on Christ, but on them. And what they'll do is they'll flatter you with how gifted and anointed you are, and they'll try to get you. Their seduction is aimed at getting you to launch out into ministry, and you know, everybody else is doing it wrong, and you know, God's going to raise you up, and all of this flattery and seduction. But the Word of God is sure, and it says, not a novice not a novice, talking about ordaining folks in the ministry, and anybody who's not been in the Lord for years and been through seasons of enduring sound doctrine and obeying the Word of God and learning Holy Scripture and enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that also always will include a Judas, at least one in your life. It will include a Alexander the coppersmith and the 2 Timothy chapter 4, who will do you much evil, and many other rigorous seasons of walking with God. Notice, not a novice. Now, he's talking about laying hands. He's talking about the qualifications of an elder, an overseer. And he says, don't lay hands suddenly on any man, which means don't involve yourself with any ordination of a man that's not truly seasoned and called out of God and has been through long seasons of training in the Lord and walking with Jesus, learning his word and obeying it. 1 Timothy 3 verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So, and then he says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. Now, Paul is giving us the qualifications for overseers, and he's not to be a novice or someone that's new in the Lord, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The condemnation of the devil is that the devil was condemned after being lifted up with pride in eternity past, as Lucifer, and that he was kicked out of heaven. And so lifting up a novice too soon, somebody that is a novice, is not ready to be in the ministry, is the device of Satan. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. And that's the device of Satan, to cause a man to fall into the same condemnation that Satan is irrevocably in himself, rejected of God. Because as we read here, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So these people feed your pride. They flatter you. They seduce you to believe that you're better than others and you're called of God and you're ordained to get out there and do this and that. And you're going to preach to the nations and, you know, all of these flattering things. They're never going to instruct you in the right ways of the Lord. They're never going to tell you to fear God, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Those are all cardinal doctrines of the original faith, the gospel, the original gospel. They're not going to get you in the word. No, you're going to be spending more time on the phone with them than you are in the word of God. See, they're incapacitating you and intercepting you from the Lord himself. In fact, they really are intercessors, but the problem is they're intercessors for the enemy of all souls. See, they've been assigned to you to make sure that your growth in Christ is turned backwards, that it is hindered and that it is subverted. Speaking also in 1 Timothy, same book, of ordaining ministers, verse 22, 1 Timothy 5, lay hands suddenly on no man, that is, to ordain them into the ministry, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So God is telling us, if you don't know a man is well seasoned in the Lord and already functioning in ministry by serving God and serving others on a daily basis, and as a servant, a mere humble servant, as Jesus came and demonstrated to us, serving others. Jesus said, I didn't come to serve myself, but I came to serve you. Matthew 20 through 28. So verse 22, again, 1 Timothy 5, lay hands suddenly on no man. That is, again, to ordain them into the ministry. Don't partake of that, because you're going to be a partaker of other men's sins. When you involve yourself in laying hands to ordain a man in the ministry that's not ready to be in the ministry because he does not meet the qualifications yet, and that would include not being mature and seasoned and still being a novice in the Lord, you're going to be partaker of his sins. You're going to be held accountable and guilty when this man gets lifted up with pride and falls into the condemnation of the devil. It hurts a lot of other people. Again, this is 1 Timothy 3:6 and 5:22. 2. I wrote some notes here as they came to me as I was awakened, I believe. Beware of the intercessors, I wrote. I personally had been incapacitated and intercepted and misled by them many times early in my Christian walk, and now I see that it was Satan himself trying to intercept me, to kidnap me, if you will, from the Father and from being grounded in him. See, Satan's the great usurper. The great usurper. He tried to usurp the throne of God in eternity past and was immediately ejected forever, vanquished from eternal glory and from the presence of God. Again, there's no such thing as an intercessor calling in the New Testament. Talked about how they allure you. They allure through the lust of the flesh. 2 Peter 3, I believe it is. Romans 16 talks about them alluring through the lust of the flesh. They entice and seduce you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. See, this is the work of Satan, and that's how we know this. Notice they seduce you away from being knit together with Christ and his body, rooted and grounded in the Lord through his word and spirit and body. Paul warns here in Colossians 2, 4, and this I say, lest, and first of all, he said, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, leading up to this verse 4. Then he says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, notice this warning, beware lest any man spoil you, that is, ruin you, take you for their spoil, carry you away from the Lord. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, the thinking of the world, not the word, and not after Christ, for in him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So anytime you hear somebody getting caught up with an intercessor, you know that the devil is coming after the soul. Notice these people tout themselves as intercessors. It sounds really holy, doesn't it? But you know, the Bible only speaks of Jesus being the great intercessor in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, chapter 7, also Isaiah, chapter 53, that Jesus made intercession by his crucifixion for the transgressors, that is, those that have transgressed against God and were alienated from him in sin. So there's no such thing in Christ's New Testament church as a special intercessor or special intercessory prayer groups, especially not run by women. You go in these warlock and witch churches, these NAR, New Apostolic Reformation churches, and you got these women running these intercessory prayer groups. There's no such thing as that in the New Testament. We don't see that anywhere in the Bible. That's a recipe for disaster, and it always will be. These are Jezebels. It doesn't matter how nice they seem and how sincere, they're completely, sincerely dead wrong. There's no such thing as a special intercessor in the New Testament. Are we to intercede in prayer? Yes. But as servants, you see, we simply bring people before the Lord. We don't try to preside over them with this witchcraft, wielding witchcraft over them and positioning them under us. This is totally unnatural and ungodly. Women are not to be teaching men. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. 1 Timothy 2:12. Now, does that mean men can't learn things from women that serve God? No, but they aren't to put themselves in a position over any man. This is totally ungodly, and it's witchcraft. See, it's a Jezebel recipe for wicked women to manipulate the pastor and younger men and direct their lives and their ministries. This can only function or happen where there's an Ahab, a spineless, moral coward pastor or elder allowing it. Revelation 2, 20 through 24 speaks about how the men, and the main rebuke is upon the men who allowed, who suffered that Jezebel Jezebel to function in the church at Thyatira, and the fruit of it was absolutely dismal and evil. And we've got a video that I did on this one under the Jezebel category. If you just look, search the word Jezebel in the search box on Safeguard Your Soul. Romans 15:30 said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So Paul asked them to pray for him. That doesn't mean they were to preside over his life and have him call them every day or two and, you know, all of this stuff. Make each other dependent on each other in that regard instead of going straight to God. That's not correct. Intercessory prayer, the prayers according to Scripture, are to be you taking people before the Lord. And not try to put yourself in any unnatural position over their lives. So interceding for someone just simply means you're lifting them up in prayer, like Epaphras did, Colossians 4:12, that he prayed that the believers at the town of Colossae would be perfect in all the will of God. They would be blessed to be walking with the Lord, Colossians chapter 4, that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's a humble request to God to do the work in their lives. That's what we see in Scripture as far as the only intercession that we're to be doing. Yet intercessory prayer groups of all women, as I mentioned earlier, they're always all women. And if it's not all women, anybody involved, including the pastor, is an Ahab, a weak, moral, coward male who is actually enabling. He's given his strength to women, which Lemuel's mother, Proverbs 31:3, commanded him never to do. Listen, saints, Jesus is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman. And whenever that order is violated, there's going to be witchcraft and destruction and the fruit of evil like you've never seen. And that's what Jesus is warning so strongly about in Revelation 2:20 through 24 in the Thyatira church. This is a recipe for disasters. These are intercessory prayer witches. Make no mistake, Satan loves to use that which sounds noble and spiritual and yet is not biblical, as we've already established in this message. If you need to go listen to it again and go through these scriptures, that would be highly recommended. The primary way God leads his New Testament church is through the Word of God, the written Word of God, the more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter 2, thy written word, that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. So this is not a biblical calling or arrangement at all. For good reason. And God's wisdom has shared this with us. He's given it to us in his word to protect his body. There's lots of witchcraft going on in the name of intercessory prayer and spiritual warfare. Most of that, which is called spiritual warfare today, is nothing but witchcraft wielded by warlocks and witches who pose as ministers of Christ. Remember, Paul warned us about the false apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 through 15. And he told us that they were ministers of Satan. So whenever today we hear spiritual warfare, the term and the teachings of it, we must ask ourselves, do we see this anywhere in the scriptures, namely the New Testament canon? So much of what is pawned off today in the modern church as quote-unquote spiritual warfare, like I said, is actually witchcraft. And again, we do not see any intercessory prayer group anywhere in the New Testament. So that is clearly something God did not institute, and it's wayward, and it's the work of the enemy. Even the sending out of prayers, of breaking this and breaking that over people and pretending to take authority, you know, over the things in their lives. It is, you know, they call this spiritual warfare. It's nothing but a bunch of spiritual witchcraft. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's how we overcome the devil. We don't need 15 people laying hands on us to get delivered. I'm not saying that having people pray for us is wrong, but, you know, God does a work as we repent. We submit ourselves to him, and then we're able to resist the devil. And that's how he would have us to walk this out, this life with him out, our vital union in that abiding oneness relationship with the Father and the Son, being full of the Holy Spirit, John 15 and 17. God will not deliver any person who will not turn their heart toward Him in real repentance. 2 Corinthians 3 says, when we turn our hearts to the Lord, the veil that once blinded us is removed. And as we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, we're able to resist the devil and he has to flee from us. We should simply ask God in Jesus' name and trust Him to do those things and stay clear of adding to that simple scriptural prescription. Just simply serve the Lord in humility, quietly, diligently, obediently, and worshipfully, and let our requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. So witchcraft, we should know, is on the list of the 17 soul-damning sins in Galatians 5:19-21. Today, we're talking about the self-appointed intercessors that God never appointed in the body of Christ, not only the individuals, but the groups. And this is witchcraft. It's named as a sin, a work of the flesh, in Galatians 5:19-21. Witchcraft, in its basic definition, just simply means to control, to exercise control, to preside over somebody else's life in a position that God never called them to do. And let me tell you, these people are in some big trouble with God. So it's when a man or a woman take control instead of letting God be in control. It takes the place of God, if you will, in your life. It's crossless. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And there's rebellion on both sides of this. Rebellion on the person who allows this coven or this witch to preside over them, to intercept their place with God, to manipulate them, to flatter them, to seduce them. That's evil on our part. And that's rebellion. We're to submit ourselves to God, first and foremost. Submitting ourselves to any man or men when we're not submitted to God is useless, and it's always going to lead to a very dark outcome. No sinful human is qualified to make intercession for mankind. And so God gave us Himself, the Word, the only begotten Son, Jesus, who came and made intercession for us, the transgressors. In fact, in Ezekiel 22:30, the Lord said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. This was before Christ came. There was no man worthy to do what only Jesus could do, being unique in all of history. And He came born of a virgin and interceded for the transgressors by His ultimate sacrifice, His perfect one sacrifice on the cross, saying and declaring that it is finished or paid in full. Amen. He's your intercessor, beloved, and He alone. Notice a sister named Antoinette said this concerning this matter. God is awakening those who will listen to hear Him. These false ministries have been blindly accepted for years. Under close scrutiny, we can plainly see they're based on fleshly desires of men to be elevated. No one person or ministry has a special place in the church, save or except for Jesus Christ. He alone is to be glorified. He alone is Lord. Amen. That was good. In fact, the Bible says these false ministries do not uphold the head. That is, they do not uphold Jesus Christ as the only head of His body. Colossians 2, verse 18 and 19. Another believer said this, I just read your article on witchcraft in the church and agree with it. They said, I have just recently listened to a sermon by Derek Prince, and he says almost the same thing about the women's prayer groups. The first 20 minutes says a lot. I've experienced my mother-in-law operating in a Jezebel spirit. My wife and I cut her off. Amen. Unquote. So the great divine intercessor, as we mentioned earlier, is the Savior, the nail-scarred, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The word intercessor in the Bible appears one time in God's Word, just once, and is prophetically, specifically speaking of Christ. And it says that no man could be our intercessor, as I read a minute ago for you in Ezekiel 22:30, also Isaiah 59:16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, His arm brought salvation unto him, and His righteousness, it sustained him. So His arm, He brought through his arm, or his arm was Christ, who came and brought righteousness. No man qualifies to be the intercessor of your life or any other mere man. And you know, they're never going to preach Christ. They're never going to preach that he's the intercessor. They put themselves in this place, which is the spirit of anti-Christ, anti meaning in place of, and they position themselves in your life and begin to manipulate you. But they can only do this if you allow them to. The word intercession appears 9 times in God's word, and primarily, especially in the New Testament, specifically speaks of Christ's perfect sacrifice and therefore intercession for his people on earth. That's his intercession because he's the intercessor. Notice Isaiah 53 and verse 12 says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he, that is Christ, this was prophetic of Christ, hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he, Jesus, made intercession for the transgressors. That's our Savior, the one intercessor in the kingdom of Christ, and that's Christ himself. Isaiah 53:12. Notice Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemns a believer? In other words, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There it is. Jesus is your intercessor, no man. That doesn't mean men can't pray for you, and we could call that intercession, but it's only because they're taking you before him who is your intercessor, not because they're the intercessor or anything other than just a mere sinful, evil man as compared to a holy, infinite God. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. Amen. So here's a hint. Beware when a so-called intercessory prayer group, again, no such thing in Scripture, or an intercessor, no such calling in Scripture. None. So beware when they talk about everything and everyone except the great intercessor himself, Jesus Christ, as we just read in Hebrews, etc. See, they want to talk about intercessory prayer and that they're intercessors, but they never mention that Jesus is the only intercessor. These are frauds, folks. These are plants of Satan. These are witches and warlocks and nothing less. More deceptively, they use God's word for things not clearly spelled out. They are like those that Paul said, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of a truth. Those who are intruding into those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up in their own fleshly mind, Colossians 2:18-19, and they're not holding the head. That's a dead ringer. Anybody in ministry or doing ministry that is not upholding Jesus Christ is a fraud. Period. And that wipes out probably over 90% of the people in ministry today, regrettably. So also Romans 8:26-27, the divine person of the Holy Spirit intercedes for believers. Remember this? Romans 8:26-27, likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. So Jesus is the great intercessor. The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints by quickening and giving us a prayer life, because he's dwelling in our hearts. Amen. Modern self-proclaimed intercessors are right here with the truth of God that we're going over right now are busted and exposed. The next time you meet a self-proclaimed intercessor, ask them to show you the calling for such intercessor in the Bible, other than that each and every believer through Jesus Christ in his name, the great intercessor, is to go to the Father in the name, in his precious name, the great intercessor, and pray. Hebrews 4:14-16 and 7:24-25. To say there are special intercessors in the body of Christ is to say, number one, 3 things here, that God forgot to tell us something important in his word, namely that there are to be special intercessors. Well, God didn't forget to tell us anything he wanted us to know. God doesn't make mistakes, folks. He's divine and perfect. He didn't have a lapse of memory and somehow forget to tell us about these intercessory prayer groups that we're to be involved in, or these intercessors. No, they don't exist in the kingdom of Christ, other than Satan has inserted them usurpingly, and he has an evil, insidious function and goal in mind, because everything he does is to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. So to say that there are special intercessors in the body of Christ, or are calling for an intercessor, is to say that Jesus, the real intercessor, is not central to the Christian faith and knowing God. And number three, to say that there are special intercessors is to say that each and every individual believer doesn't have full access to the throne of God via the blood of Christ, which the Bible teaches we do. We all can go before the Lord, before the great intercessor, the Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus taught that whatever you pray in his name, he's going to do it. And when you pray, pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. John 16, verse 23 and 24. That's Christianity and prayer 101. There's no such thing as a prophetic intercessor, by the way. Anytime you hear this word prophetic, you can know that it's a pathetic devil working in it. Unless it's speaking of end time, that's a good word, actually, because the word of God is prophetic. It tells us in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 that God told us the end from the beginning. But this, I'm talking about this movement, this prophetic movement that we're talking about and exposing right here in this message. There's no such thing as a prophetic intercessor in the New Testament church, such as a title used today by this New Apostolic Reformation movement, which is 100% absolutely heretical and false. Anyone who's trying to control someone else is doing so because they're not giving control of their own life to God. They're not submitted to God, and they're operating in witchcraft. Because witchcraft is a soul-damning sin where somebody is exercising undue control over another person. Recently, in a conversation with a lady, she boasted that she'd been an intercessor for 30 years. That's what she told me. What immediately comes to mind is not a good image. If you've been in the charismatic movement, the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation movement, and had your eyes open, you know how this witchcraft works. Many of you listening to me know exactly how it works. These intercessors in these churches are basically witches who pray for what they want to see come to pass. And since they are under the control of the prince of the power of the air, or a spirit of witchcraft, it's Satan that's instituting and seeking to see these things come to pass, not God. And remember 2 Corinthians 2:11 again, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. So this is very important that we talk about these things that we're talking about today, right now, among the people of God, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly or abundantly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Bible informs us that the devil is a liar. He is our enemy, and he is, quote, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, unquote. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. So the enemy of souls uses things as fronts, facades that seem to be honorable, noble, or even logical on the surface, yet that are not sanctioned in Scripture, such as we mentioned earlier. There are many gifts and callings listed in Scripture, gifts of the Spirit, the gifts and callings of God for the eldership, servanthood of overseers, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. Again, there are many gifts and callings listed in Holy Scripture, and yet there's no record of the special calling for an intercessor or of an intercessor. Also, we see no intercessory prayer groups in the early church, not one. That tells you it's false, that alone. The next time you meet someone who says they're an intercessor, ask them to qualify that so-called calling with Scripture alone. Personally, I've never met someone who calls himself an intercessor who wasn't deceived or outside the unbiblical, charismatic, New Apostolic Reformation movement. These demonic movements have spawned a generation of people that are functioning under a spirit of witchcraft. Okay, so at the bottom of this post, I am going to post the actual other post that I mentioned earlier, the video I did on the depths of Satan, is specifically speaking about allowing Jezebel to function. That's what's going on here in this intercessory prayer movement. It's actually allowing Jezebel to function and bring about, notice, the depths of Satan's worst. And that message goes into it. It's called Jezebel, the Depths of Satan. If you look at the bottom of this post, or if you want to go ahead and just put the word Jezebel or Depths of Satan into the search box here on safeguardyoursoul.com, you'll see that message. And that is only used, that term is only used one time in the Bible. And it's used by Jesus Christ, Revelation 2, 20 through 24. And he calls Jezebel, and allowing Jezebel, the very depths of Satan. That is scary, to put it lightly, as I believe you will agree. So Lemuel's mother, a godly young man brought up by a godly mother, taught him to, quote, give not thy strength unto women. Now, the word strength, which you need to look up, because I believe is talking about, maybe not limited to, but talking about the headship of men that are not to give their strength or their place, their calling, over to women. Don't be seduced and moved out of your place. You're not better than anybody else, but there's an order in God's creation and in the family unit that God ordained and in the church. And women are not to preside over and teach men. Okay, that's a governing truth. 1 Timothy 2:12, again, suffer not a woman to teach nor to, watch this, usurp authority over the man. You keep your place as a man, the role of a man. You're strong, you're masculine. God made you that way, to serve, to lead in a servant leader capacity under the word of God and the power of God himself and the grace of God, to bless others, to feed them the word of God, and to minister to them, provide for them, and serve them. Never to misuse that place. But that's what you're going to give account for, and so am I. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Notice, this is what we're talking about. Satan desires to destroy the kings, if you will, of the body of Christ, the men. That's the context here. And one of the ways he does that is by assigning these witches that call themselves warlocks to men, especially men that God has, you know, brought into his kingdom and are susceptible to this kind of stuff. But we got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and continue to study to show ourselves approved, gentlemen, and to build a foundation in Christ, our only intercessor, our only Savior. Amen. The only one who saved us. And continue to be rooted and grounded in him ever more deeper, Colossians 2 speaks of. So regrettably, nearly without fail, women who call themselves intercessors are Jezebels. And in many cases, these are Jezebel ministries. They're all Jezebel ministries, actually. The men who call themselves intercessors are, without fail, Ahabs, which means they are dangerous, weak, Jezebel enablers. And that's what Jesus was addressing in Thyatira, Revelation 2. So God calls you and I to be the man. Study, he says, actually, to quit or act ye like men in both the Old and the New Testament. Be the man. Don't give your strength to women. Do what God called you to do and lead. Servant lead. There's no such thing as God violating his word and letting a woman be an elder in a church. That's not of God. That's a Jezebel ministry. Run for your life. Again, Jesus addresses this in Revelation 2, 20 through 24. The fallout is going to be every time, and you can look at it. I've seen it happen over and over. It's going to be destruction. There's going to be many divorces. There are going to be boys that begin to be feminine and homosexual as an evil demonic spirit and fruit that comes whenever a woman is allowed to function out of the God-ordained role and order that he ordained them to function. One pastor put it this way, women have the greatest calling in Scripture, and that is to be a servant. You be the man, study and know what God has made you for and requires of you as a man. who is the servant of Christ and no other. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In fact, memorize that verse today, 2 Timothy 2:15. Jezebels cannot and will not function where there is no Ahab. What is an Ahab? A weak, spineless, moral coward man who gives over his strength, his calling as a man to women. So, intercessors and intercessory prayer groups in today's church are the manifestation of Jezebel. Notice in Revelation 2, this woman Jezebel, and by the way, the only two Jezebels in the Bible are women, and I know a lot of people try to carry the responsibility over to the man. There are male Jezebels too. Well, I don't know about that. I just know that the women in the Bible, the Jezebels in the Bible, were women, okay? They're much more susceptible after the fall to this arrangement and this deception than men are, much more. Weak men, Ahabs, are guilty of allowing these Jezebels to function, and many times using the noble title of, quote, an intercessor. Charismatic and New Apostolic Reformation churches are loaded with this witchcraft. Any person who puts their own supposed calling before the truth of God and the body of Christ is completely self-serving and has no concern for the Lord or his body whatsoever. In fact, such a person is completely departed from the Lord and will bring great destruction on the body of Christ if allowed, if suffered, is what the language is in the King James in Revelation 2, 20 through 24 with the Thyatira church, which Jesus is rebuking the men for. Well, what they did by allowing a woman to function outside of the stated biblical God-ordained role of a woman. They allowed her to minister in a position that was not fit for women. So this is exactly what Jesus addressed and called the depths of Satan and Thyatira in Revelation 2. In their self-deceived hearts, they are sure that God has called them to minister in a way that he clearly forbids, just like the Jezebel who was allowed by the Ahabs in Thyatira. That's what we see going on today. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5, 23 and 24, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, not only in the church, but in the family. Much more importantly, the man is the head, Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the wife. Out of God's order is out of God's order, and it's out of God's blessing. If God calls man to be the head, and he non-negotiably does that, that means that men bear the personal responsibility for which they will be judged. Again, Proverbs 31:3, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings, or destroys men. Strength. Don't give your strength to women. Don't give your valor, the Hebrew word speaks of, your position, your calling, your leadership place to serve, your virtue, your wealth, etc. That's all taken in with the Hebrew word for strength. This is the same diabolical ploy to steal the glory of Christ we see played out over and over and over again. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Counterfeits are known in that they refuse to uphold Jesus as the head of his body, which we read specifically in Colossians 2. First off, isn't it interesting that those today who call themselves intercessors never even mention Jesus, the great intercessor? And the Bible never sanctions them to be intercessors, but it tells us that Jesus is the great intercessor. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and close this message. There's so much to be said on this topic. I hope that you will obey the word of God and come out from among them and be ye separate, that you would submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And remember that you are bought with a price, and to be not the servants of men or mere men. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. Lots of people in the modern church are doing quote-unquote ministry not seen in the New Testament scriptures. Everything must be tested against scripture. If you don't see it there, somebody is trying to mislead you. Beware, they're subjecting their prey, P-R-E-Y, to this foolishness, this rebellion, which is the sin of witchcraft, 1 Samuel 5:22 and 23. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Many follow what they learned from other deceived people in ministry positions, in modern apostate churches. Instead of seeking the Lord earnestly, they continue to perpetuate these devices of Satan upon others. Let Jesus teach you from scratch and straight up from his word, friend, as you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God bless you. I'm glad we had these moments together. I pray that Jesus would heal your broken heart, make you whole, and deliver you as you submit yourself afresh, therefore, unto him. And it's only then that you're going to be able to resist the devil, and he's going to flee from you, including all these bands and these wicked devices that people have tried to put on you with these falsities we just went through. God bless you. Remember, whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, he said he will give it you. Cry out to Jesus, beloved. John 14, verse 13 and 14. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.